You know, the greatest thing that you can do is help others. Have you ever noticed when people are busy helping somebody else, they're usually the happiest people? Helping someone in need can add a sense of worth to your life. You know, helping others just doesn't make a difference for them. It makes a difference for you also. Booker T. Washington said, those who are happiest are those who do the most for others. Abraham Lincoln said, to ease another's heartache is to forget one's own. You know, helping others is valuable in the natural as well as in the spiritual. On the job, most of the time, those that are always helping others are looked upon more favorably. In the church, God works through people helping others. You know, sometimes God moves supernaturally, like he did with Paul in Acts 16, 9 through 10. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. Now, it'd be great if everybody got a supernatural vision like that. But in another instance, Paul was in danger in Acts 9, 23 through 25. And after a while, some of the Jews plotted to kill him. They were watching him day and night at the city gate so they could murder him. But Saul was told about their plot. So during the night, some of the other believers lowered him in a basket through an opening in the city wall. Now, there wasn't anything supernatural about this. Paul just needed some help. And they said, hey, we can do something about this. So they gathered together and helped him. You know, there are sometimes when we help, we can help others. And there are times when we need others' help, ourselves. You know, there are times when God clearly calls us to do something and tells us to do it. But there are other times when we see that there's a need and we just step up and get involved. You know, people set goals all the time. Most of the time when they set a goal, they want to be accepted. And then they set goals that satisfies them. And then they make goals for being successful. But there's one goal that everybody should have, and that's to help somebody else become a better person. The first three goals are all concentrated on yourself. The first goal is concentrated on others. You know, suppose you and a group of people were walking through a field, and all of a sudden you heard somebody calling for help, and then you begin to listen and go toward it, and you realize it's a child. And you find that there's a well, and that child has fallen down in that dry well. So you tie a rope around yourself, and you tell the others to let you down, and you get the child, and they pull you back to safety. Now, who saved that child? All of you. It took you going down in the hole, and it took them pulling you out. It takes group effort to accomplish things in the natural. And here at the church, it takes a group effort. It takes all of us doing what we can do. You know, I can't go work in the nursery or in the children's department or direct traffic and be an usher and be up here and preach. But I tell you what, and some of y'all remember this, way back when the church was several years ago, I made all, including myself and my wife, I made all the pastoral staff go work in the children's department because we needed help. And we'll do it again if we have to. I found out one thing. In a two-year-old class, you don't wear a tie. Because I was bent over and one little boy grabbed a hold of that tie and I couldn't get him loose. So, but those days are gone. We don't wear ties anyway, usually. But, you know, success comes when everybody works together. The Rhema Bible Church can do what we need to do when we all step up to the plate and do and work together. There's a value in joining in and helping. You know, I've told this many times, but Kenneth Turner, that's my Sunday school teacher, my 9, 10, and 11-year-old days, he didn't know the potential of ever those kids in that class. He didn't know that one day, and I don't say this braggadociously, but he didn't know that one day that I would be the head of a worldwide ministry and all the schools and things that we do. All he knew is that he was trying to help the church. You know, it's not the size of your effort. It's putting out the effort and getting involved. You know, Henry Ford made a great statement. Coming together is the beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success. You know, working together brings value and benefit to all of us. Now, the Apostle Paul talked about this in 1 Corinthians 12, 20. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem the weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with greatest care. So we carefully protect these parts that they should not be seen. While more honorable parts do not require special care, so God puts the body together such that extra honor and care is given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. You know, Paul is using the human body here, and he compares it to the people in the church, you know, like the members of the human body. As you think about it, it takes every part of your body involved so that you can operate efficiently and effectively, okay? You know, every part is needed and is valuable. Even though you don't think about it very often, but your little toe. I'll tell you what, if you stump your little toe in the middle of the night and break it, you will find out that it is vital to your balance. Because when you try to start walking with it broken, you have a problem. And we all know that we couldn't live at all without the heart. See, it takes everybody working together to accomplish the goal that God has for this church, bringing hope, help, and healing to the world. You know, you didn't go on that trip, but I tried to show you as much of it as I could because you are responsible for helping me to go, and because you helped me to go, you reap the part of the reward. You know, some people don't realize that, you know, everybody, society we live in today, it's reward driven, but you don't realize it. But your reward is just as much as mine. You know, the Bible talks about getting the same reward. Hello? Go read the story of the talents. The one man had, he had 5 talents, the other guy had 2, and so forth and so on. But when the reward was given out, they both got the same reward because they both did what they were supposed to do. And the one that didn't do anything with his talent, he got kicked out. I wonder if that's how it is if we don't use our talents. I didn't say that. I'm just making an observation. The Bible said that, okay? You know, some people think, well, I don't have anything to contribute. Yes, you do. Somewhere in this church, you can be a help. We've got all kinds of things that need to be done. You know, working together multiplies what we can accomplish. Hello. I know this is not a great subject and nobody's shouting. But let me tell you what. When the rewards are handed out, there'll be some shouting going on and there may be some crying going on. Come on now. You know, 1 Corinthians 3 says, when one of you says, I'm a follower of Paul, another says, I'm a follower of Apollos, and aren't acting and are acting just like the people in the world. After all, who is Apollos and who is Paul? We're only God's servants through whom you believed in the good news. Each of us did the work that Lord gave us to do. Now here, Paul is talking about the fact that these people are saying, well, I like this one. I like Apollos, and I like, and the one likes Paul. And they were getting in an argument over him. And he was saying, we are both God's workers, and you are God's field, and you are God's building. What he's trying to tell them is, hey, you can't be divided. You got to be together, and you got to work together. He's trying to get the team and Corinthian church straightened out and told them, we're all God's servants, and also each one of us is to do the work that God needs to be done so that everyone has an opportunity to receive Christ and all the benefits that belong to us. Every person has something of value to contribute. I thought her 2 amens. There should have been a whole lot more amens than that. If you don't think you have something to contribute, something's the matter with you. We all have something to contribute. I don't know. I don't care where it is. You all have something to contribute. Like I said, each person has something of value that they can contribute. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Are you a part of the team? Are you a Lone Ranger? You know, Lone Rangers stand on the sideline and criticize the others. Team players build each other up and help each other. Lone Rangers aren't willing to pay the price to be a part of the team. Team players get involved with what they can contribute, whether they're the starter or not, whether they're recognized as not or not. John Wesley said something that is really, really interesting. Do all you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. I hope you got that. That is a profound statement that we all need to get a hold of. You know, in the Bible, we see that people needed each other. Moses needed Aaron. David needed his mighty men. Jesus needed his 12 disciples. Paul needed Barnabas and the other people that traveled with him. You know, team members check up on one another. They help each other. When one's going through something, the other ones help them out, help them get back to where they need to be. Every team is only as strong as the weakest member. That's why we need to support each other. I was looking at something, I think it was on the, I just flipped on my phone and it was one of them little deals that comes up, you know, and this animal had been attacked by a pack of animals. And the next thing you know, here came his pack of animals came, and they chased off all of those that were attacking and protected him. That's what teamwork is all about. We work together, each one of us, doing what we can. I mean, if you're on a traffic team, yeah, it's not fun to be out there in the heat or the cold, but it's real easy to take a light and direct people, say, oh, stop, go. It's nice to be in here with the air conditioning and taking the offering and helping people find seats. And you know, all the kids are over here and there's people taking care of them. So you don't have any of them crying and hollering and going on so you can't hear what the preacher's saying. Hello. At 18, I started preaching in little churches. Sometimes it wasn't any bigger than this section right here. Out in the country. There was one door. That was it. There was no classrooms. There was no restrooms. This is 1958. They had a couple of buildings out behind the church. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. The Bible said, let him as ignorant be ignorant still. No, I'm kidding. And you know what? The kids was in there, the babies was in there, and they start crying. Hey, you got a little, the church ain't that big. And two or three babies start crying, it gets pretty noisy. And you got to learn to talk loud to get over the top of them. That's why somebody said, you know, sometimes when we have some kids in here or something, well, on Sundays when we have kids in here, there'll be some noise. And don't that bother you? I said, no, don't bother me. I learned to preach over the top of it. So, but hey, thank God for everybody that's doing what they're doing. We have a worldwide audience that watches us every Sunday morning. We call them the E-Church. You don't see them. I don't see them. I know about them because they tell me about them. But there's a person up there in that control room, and these people are writing in and saying different things, and they're answering questions for them and doing things. Yeah. But you are a part of people that are being blessed. Even we get testimonies of people that are born again, people that get healed. And we don't see, but see, we're a part of that. And what I want to encourage you is to realize that you have the Holy Spirit, and He is a comforter, but He's a helper. What is a helper? A helper doesn't do the job. They simply help you do the job. You see, He's on the inside of you. He's your helper. He will help you do whatever that you want to sign up to do. Use your talents. He'll help you with your talent. He'll help you to do what you need to do. The Holy Spirit will anoint you to do the job that you set out to do. Something, well, I don't feel it. Sometimes you won't feel it till you start. It's important that we realize that we need to start doing something, and then God will move. Most of the time, God's already done it. He's waiting on you to move so he can move. You know, my hand may be doing something. I'm ministering here. Somebody else is doing something else. Somebody else is doing something else. But behind it all, there's the unseen hand of the Holy Spirit that's helping us. You may not think about it that way, but you should. Realize the hand of God is in our midst working with you all the time. You just got to rely on him and believe in him and understand that. Remember, as you study in the Word of God, even when on the day of Pentecost and in other times, when they were all together in unity, working together, then that's when things begin to happen. You know, God's looking for people that will unite and work together so that his vision can be accomplished in this earth. The Holy Spirit will bring the blessing if you'll produce the work. Working together will make you feel a whole lot better about yourself. You'll feel like you accomplished something. Working together makes impossible tasks become possible. Working together, God will show up, and then you'll see the supernatural. We were just singing about it. I didn't know they were going to sing that song. Excuse me. But everybody's wanting the supernatural. The supernatural shows up when everybody is working together, hand in hand. That's when things begin to happen. I simply talked to my church this morning out of my heart because we are in dire need of help in every area. Talking to the music department, there's nobody even auditioning. Nobody's signing up to help on the ushers. Nobody's signing up to help on anything. Has the spirit of the world now entered the church? Many businesses are going out of business because they can't hire, nobody wants to work. They can't find people to work. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. You go to a restaurant and they say, we're short-staffed. We can't get any waiters, but if you don't mind waiting, we'll seat you. Anybody been in a restaurant like that? Yeah, I see several in. Hey, God's still the same God. And he needs people to show up and to do what they need to do so that his plan for Rhema Bible Church, every church has its own vision. Every church has its own thing. But all of us, how many of you are Rhema Bible Church? Let me see your hand if you're Rhema Bible Church. Then we're in this together. And when we all stand up and join forces hand in hand and everybody does what they can do, you'll see an increase in everything in your life. Not only will you see an increase in the spirituality of your life, you'll begin to see increase in other areas of your life. Because God is just like a boss. He's looking for those that are willing to do the job. Hello? On the job, when somebody goes the extra mile, have you ever noticed they're the ones that get promoted? They're the ones that gets blessed? Anybody ever noticed that? Hey, God is looking for, hey, they're still his children. But he's looking for those that are willing to use their talent, and then he'll bless them. I hope this doesn't embarrass him, but there's a man sitting right back there that used his talent to help build part of this campus, and he helped build this building right here. And you can see how God has blessed him simply because he was willing to do the job. I remember us talking, he said, I never built a building big as this building when we did it. Right, Brother Charlie? But you know what? He was willing to step out and do the job. And look how God has blessed him. You know what? I wasn't qualified to start a Bible school. But I took my Bible and my stuff, and I sat down and I put together the first curriculum for Rhema in 1974. I put it together in 73. The last part of 73, but like first part of 74, last part of 74, I'm sorry. All right, anyway, I put it together. And you just saw the pictures. You see what God did. I don't care whether you think you're qualified or not. God will qualify you if you'll be willing to step out and to get involved. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this people. I've simply talked to them out of my heart this morning, encouraging each of them to step out, get out of their comfort zone, and to move out and begin to do use their talents for you. I thank you that you'll speak to hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody stand, please. I hope you got a hold of what I was trying to say to you today. I wouldn't call that a message, I guess. I'm just talking to you out of my heart. A pastor, that's what a pastor's supposed to do. Everybody bow your head for just a moment. I never like to have a service. You don't ever know. There may be somebody in here that doesn't know Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, and we can help them to find Jesus today. Or there may be somebody in here that you know what it is to serve God, but you just sort of got off course and detoured, and you need to rededicate your life to God. If there's anybody like that in this whole place, I want to help you. I want to reach out to you, and I want to pray with you, and I want to help you change your life. I want to help you today. Is there anybody in the room, anywhere, upstairs, downstairs, in this room, anywhere? You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life to God. I want to help you. That's what I preached about. I want to help you. These people in this congregation want to help you. Anybody, I'm looking. I'm going to take just a moment and look. Thank you, Jesus. Father, if there be one person in this place that does not know you, Son, as their personal Savior, I pray that the Holy Spirit will go with them, the convicting power of God. And they can't be satisfied doing anything till they stop and accept your Son as Lord and Savior of their life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Connection team, go find our first-time guests and take them to receive that special gift that we have for them. Staff, go to the doors so we can shake your hand. I'm going to the east door. That's where everybody's going if you need to know where they're at. Hallelujah. Pastor Craig is preaching in South Dakota today. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. For you first-time guests, we say to you, what do we say, church? Welcome home. Come on and be a part of us. They're going to sing a chorus. Let me get over here where I can shake hands with you. God bless you. We'll see you tonight and Wednesday night. God bless.
And show me.